7:30 a.m., City Hall. On the job before almost everyone else, janitors, city gardeners, Mayor Bloomberg, and a Spanish teacher. One of the only city employees at work before the mayor is City Hall Chief Gardener Richard Howland.
He acknowledges us, which is great. It's nice he takes the time out, says hi, waves to us. Previous administration, we were ghosts. I should say one thing, he noticed that the one area was weeded and he made a comment about the weeds.
9 a.m. In a City Hall corridor sit a half dozen lawyers who want to be judges and are waiting to meet with Mayor Bloomberg. 10:30 a.m. In the City Hall press room, Maurice Carroll with the Quinnipiac poll briefs reporters on how Democratic voters feel about Mayor Bloomberg.
You know who the most popular Democrat in New York is? Michael Bloomberg. His job approval, 64 to 26. That's like in that honeymoon period when Quinnipiac measured when he first came in.
10:45 a.m. Reporters dash for the mayor's press van to East New York and Brooklyn. Today's mayoral press event is on affordable housing. The driver, Phil, makes good time to an empty lot with tall grass and maple saplings. It's pushing well past lunchtime, and the mayor's advance team is in place.
1-2, check 1-1-2, test 1.
Thanks to a real estate boom, the city, which in the 1980s was stuck with over 5,000 abandoned properties, now has plans for its last 248 abandoned lots.
Today, I'm announcing that HPD will issue requests for proposals, or RFPs as they're called, to build more than 3,200 units of mixed-income housing on these last remaining 248 vacant lots, ending the city's role as a landlord.
Democratic Councilwoman Tracy Boylan takes the podium on behalf of the mayor's efforts.
In my district alone, which is Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brownsville, East Flatbush, parts of Crown Heights, we've done over 1,000 units of affordable housing since I've been in office alone. So we've had a wonderful relationship with the administration in regards to affordable housing.
Mayor Bloomberg is running late for a campaign event, a major senior citizen picnic out on Long Island, scheduled at 1 p.m. Sure, there is travel time, but seniors vote. 6:45 p.m. The mayor is back out in the public eye in Manhattan with his girlfriend, State Banking Superintendent Diana Taylor. They attend a celebration at NYU to mark the end of the summer orientation for hundreds of participants in the Teach for America Corps, who is slated to start teaching at some of the city's toughest schools.
I just wanted you to take a careful look at him.
Before I hired him to run the New York City school system, he had a full head of hair.
Does that tell you what you're in for?
He tells him he came to New York saddled with debts from loans to pay for college and shares tips with living the high life on a budget.
And I came to New York with nothing but a bunch of debts. I paid them off. My first dates for the first few years were I took a pizza and a six-pack on the Staten Island Ferry. That's a romantic thing you can do, trust me. You'll be very happy after that.
Bloomberg takes a helicopter to his next event at the Coney Island waterfront, where singer Michael Bolton is scheduled to perform.
We have plenty of $10 CD left instead of volunteers.
7:45 p.m. Brooklyn Borough President Marty Markowitz entertains a crowd of over 3,000 Brooklynites waiting for the Bolton concert to start and the mayor to arrive.
Ladies and gentlemen, our mayor, Michael Bloomberg.
I just got to tell you, it is such a pleasure to share a stage with a superstar, a legend, and the idol of millions, Marty Markowitz.
It's after 8 p.m. The mayor gets off the concert stage and is steered into Michael Bolton's trailer for a visit, but he has to be quick. Night is falling fast, and well over 2,000 people are waiting to see him before they can watch the film Big Fish outdoors on the Brooklyn side of the East River. The mayor's motorcade steps on it. 8:40 p.m. He's just 10 minutes late and gets a warm reception from the thousands on blankets under the majestic bridge.
It's a great pleasure and honor to introduce to you our mayor, Michael Bloomberg.
Thank you. I just got one thing to say to you.
This is what our waterfront should be, all 578 miles that we have in this city, and we're working towards that. Big Fish, Tim Burton, great movie. Enjoy.
As he leaves the bridge park, constituents surround him for a picture and a complaint or two. He's headed on foot for a moderately priced restaurant just a few blocks away.
Mr. Mayor, just want to talk to you. How are you? Nice to see you. So I understand you usually start your day like at 5 a.m. in the morning. So
no,
here we are.
What, true. 5:15.
Okay, and so here we are now. It's like 9 o'clock.
Absolutely.
How are you?
Good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
All the best. Say cheese.
Cheese.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay,
Mr. Mayor.
All the best, guys. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
So what's the hardest part of this job?
The hardest part of the job is really that you like to spend more time, I think, at each event. And that's arguably one of the real differences between my old life and my new life. In the corporate world, I worked the same hours, you know, from early in the morning till late at night. But you would spend a whole evening at a dinner with people and have lots of time to talk. The other problem is that the requirement, the ceremonial parts of the job take a lot of time. And you can't delegate that.
And what of Bloomberg's innovation of moving out of the traditional mayor's office into his so-called bullpen, where he and his top 40 assistants share one common space like a newsroom?
Could any mayor, whoever came after you, go back behind a closed door now?
I suspect that they all will. Most people aren't comfortable enough to do it. The bullpen requires, I think, a lot of confidence because everybody can see you. The interesting thing is that people that are sort of forced to work in the bullpen get that confidence. And so they become converts to it. You may have a vertical structure, but my view of organizations, just that, yeah, there has to be a boss. That's fine. That doesn't mean that the number two person or the number 37 person down the list don't contribute just as much. I, for example, have never believed that the boss is the one that has to get paid the most.
One of the things people always say that they want you to get mad at Albany or Washington, but you don't do pounding. You know what I mean?
If you want something from somebody, you have two choices, and I will tell you which one I think makes more sense. You can walk up, smack them upside the face, and then ask them for something. Or you can walk up and you can make nice to them in the terminology of the street, and then ask them for something. Which do you think is going to be more effective?
Back at the park where Big Fish is playing, Glenn Sanders with Fresh Air Flicks that produced the outdoor film event says he knows why a guy from Massachusetts who is a Republican is poised to win re-election in a city where the GOP is outnumbered more than 5-1.
Quite simple, because in New York, before anybody's a Democrat or Republican or Independent or Green Party or anything else, they're New Yorkers. And I think everybody in this city thinks like a New Yorker first, and then their political affiliation second. Mayor Bloomberg is the consummate New Yorker.
For WNYC, I'm Bob Henry.
Some said that fish was built with people who drowned in that river 60 years before. Others claimed he was a dinosaur left over from the Cretaceous period. I didn't put any stock into such speculation or superstition. And all I knew was I'd been trying to catch that fish since I was a boy, no bigger than you. And on the day you were born, that was the